always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Hey, man. I'm not going to be rushed. So I'm going to take my time.
Will LeBron.
Yeah, I personally may make my decision before I even step in line. However, you and I'm sure we've both been to where there's ice cream, a variety of restaurants. There are people who do not make the decision or will not even think about their decision until they're in line. And then they'll contemplate because they're like, oh, I like this. Oh, I like that. But the other part of that is there's not a clear and obvious choice that they want to go with. So then they spend all that time contemplating when they could have. Yeah, they could have contemplated in line.
Yeah, but maybe the menu's been right there this whole time you've been here.
It's been, yeah. Hey, look, you don't have to tell me. Sometimes I choose what I want to eat before I even leave the crib. Like, I know my order before we even get in line. And I probably know my order when I'm in line. However, some people, you know, they wait until they get in line and because they've been talking while they were in line. They were talking, they were on their phone, like they weren't concerned about it until it was in front of them.
Yeah, and they ruined the rest of the offseason for everybody else. Let's see. So Brandon Omang writes, I see Thibault playing more meaningful minutes over Zaire and possibly Jake. Hopefully Carr and Adu can factor into the rotation. Is Vando here for training camp? I don't think Vando's going anywhere. I think Vando is going to be like Vando might get a statue when it's all said and done with how long that contract is. But the Thibault point is interesting because like when he signed, he's one of those defenders who actually plays bigger than he actually is. He defends, guards and quicker guys fairly well too, but I think he's like a really strong dude. So I actually kind of envisioned him in the 40 or 50 games that he might play this year as a starter in those games. Just cause I like his fit there, with Luka, with Austin, with Grimes and with Kessler. The main concern I have though is that like if you start him, are you going to wear him down too quickly because of the injury concerns?
Yeah, I was gonna say with Thibault specifically, I actually thought the opposite. I thought at least historically he defended more ones and twos, like more ball handlers.
Mm-hmm.
And then even like the off ball guard or off ball wing a little bit more. I think this past year with Portland, he started to defend more bigger wings, like more small forward, like traditionally sized small.
Usually happens more as they get older. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, that's the other part. Injuries settle in, get a little older. You have to start defending, I guess, down the positional spectrum more than you can defend up.
Or not at all.
So, to your point, like, I don't know if I see him defending like bigger forwards or bigger fours much. He would be more ideal for, kind of like maybe at this point, maybe more twos and threes, maybe even defending ones, depending on who the point guard is. The other thing about Thibault is you may have to, compared to Zaire and Jake, he is older. He hasn't played a lot of minutes, at least over the past, two seasons. He played 45 games, and I forgot, I think, what did he play? 65 his first full season with Portland. Like, they may have to build in, like, all right, at least to start. Like, he finished last season healthy. He's still 29. It's not like he's 32 or 34, but there may be more of a let's build you up to be ready for February, March, and April and beyond rather than you're a full go. I don't know if he's starting day one, but.
I think the likeliest scenario, unless the roster changes, I think the likeliest scenario feels like Jake as the starting four.
Yeah, I would. I probably agree. I think all these guys who are in this question are in the rotation. Day one rotation outside of Adu and Vando. Like Zaire, there's a world in which Thibault, Zaire, and Jake and Cameron are all in the rotation.
Duffy is pushing for Carr to have a pretty big spot in that rotation. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. I think there's a pathway for it. I'm really high on Cameron Carr. Like I like he was the guy who I was kind of like afraid to even hope for going into the draft. And then as the draft went on, I was like, I was so afraid to hope for him that I like didn't want to say his name because I didn't want to jinx him falling to the Lakers. And then he was a Laker, and then he looked incredible in Vegas. So I think there's a spot for him in that rotation there. And it makes a lot of sense for the Lakers to get the most out of him.
I'm thinking about it. Just start it. So let's just say Jake starts or along the four other guys we've talked about starters. I mean, then if it's a 10-man rotation, Colin, Cameron, Zaire, Bible, and Mamu.
Yeah. With like Looney is like a spot rotation player, and whoever this fill in the blank third big might be, if they are able to. I mean, things change again. So like if they get Kuminga, then Jake gets pushed into that second unit. Yeah. And somebody gets pushed out of it, right? So I guess it would be between Williams and Carr, I guess, who would be pushed out of that second unit. So,
Williams, Carr, Thibault. I mean, we'll see. Just like, again, he ended last season healthy. He's healthy, as far as I know, he's healthy now. But I will say, this is a good problem to have, because I actually think sometimes it's even more concerning when you go into the season. You're like, all right, this is our rotation. We know it's like how it's going to be. It's like, well, what happens if
one guy gets hurt?
Yeah. And it's like, crap. We don't have a good option for it. Like, at least, and I think Jovan's made this point too. They've given themselves room for something to not work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not everything has to work out, at least in terms of this upcoming season.
Yeah. I always like the concept of, if you have a 10-man rotation, you want 12 guys to be vying for spots in that rotation. If you have a 10-man rotation and you only have 10 guys on your roster, that's where you start to get a little nervous.
100%.
Let's run UNLV writes, if the Lakers take the hit for the Russ trade, instead of deflecting it on Bron, he probably finishes his career on a biannual exception in LA. I mean, I'm literally before you hopped on here, Kobe, I was writing about that, this whole situation here with LeBron, just because I want to spend more time on it without like talking about it on the air and really kind of suss it out. But it is annoying that they were like, go away, LeBron, and they still need a starting power forward. Like, that's the, you know, like it was years in the making, I think. And it took a long time to eventually arrive here where both parties were ready to move on to the extent that they were. But for LeBron to not have like a clear cut favorite next destination, and for the Lakers to not have a clear cut starting power forward, and for both sides to make so much sense for each other, and for neither side to really consider that an option, it's like, you know, what are we doing? Like, you know, just like turn off team chemistry and on 2K, and then, you know, come on back. It's not happening, but it is annoying.
Can toothpaste off the tube? It is a fascinating thought exercise, though. With this question, because I was reading, it took me a minute to be like, oh, I get what you're saying. There would just be better feelings about one another. But I mean, like you said, it was years in the making, and I mean, I hate to go back to it because obviously we talked about Kuminga earlier, but there's also a world in which the Lakers handled that the Kuminga specific situation a little bit differently, and we're not talking about it as much. I think it's just interesting on
July 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, I think it's interesting that, you know, the order of operations in which they took care of backup spots, right? Like, in theory, guys were going to be high rotation players before they solidified the starting wing spot. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's because they were confident that, you know, this is going to work out regardless. Like, this deal is going to come through, and it just hasn't. I mean, again, there's a world in which it works out for them and they get Kuminga on a better deal than what he's asking, and they come out of this with an A- grade because they get the starting four and they whatever. But it does, like, the longer this goes on, specifically the LeBron part, which is why even whenever I'm talking about Lakers offseason, LeBron still somehow comes up, even though it's been almost, I think it's been 3 and it's been over 3 weeks since he made it, 3.5 weeks since he you know, made his decision on not returning, they're going to be tied to each other until one makes a decision. The funny thing is the LeBron decision's going to help the Lakers make their next.
Yeah, the Lakers are kind of sort of hoping that he picks Cleveland because that takes away Cleveland as an option for Kuminga. And at that point, the market's dry. Like, I don't really know what other options outside of Cleveland Kuminga might even have. You know, he can't go back to Atlanta because they have 17 guys on their roster and they just traded for a starter at his position. And they already had another starter at the other wing position in Jalen Johnson. So, like, they have a ton of wings. So I don't really know how this is going to play out for Kuminga if LeBron goes to Cleveland. I still have a weird feeling that Miami is the spot. And that's aside from the whole YouTube scheduled press conference thing. Let's run. UNLV also writes, also asking, like, drafting Bronny was some huge favor at 55 is hilarious considering he's better at basketball than the last two Lakers first rounders. Well, the plan wasn't for him to be better at basketball than their last two first rounders. They just whiffed on those two picks. Like that, it was considered a favor when they drafted Bronny. It wasn't considered a favor to draft Jalen Hood-Schifino or Dalton Connect. It just so happens that those guys didn't pan out for very different reasons. But yeah, I do kind of roll my eyes when I hear people say, like, well, at least they drafted Bronny. It's like, he's their best prospect before they drafted Carr. you know.
Jeez. That again, talk about getting bleak. So what, their best three draft picks of the 2020s have been one of them hasn't even played a basketball game.
Yeah, we need to see this actually translate. Yeah.
Yeah, but Cameron Carr, Bronny James, and Max Christie. Are those their best in the 2020s?
Mm-hmm.
Because Max's 2022 second round, 2023 was Jalen Hood-Schifino and Maxwell Lewis. 2024 was Bronny and Dalton. 2025, yeah. Oh, and then you have Adu. But I think up through this point, I mean,
we haven't Adu seen enough from Adu.
Yeah, we haven't seen. I really like what I saw from Adu during summer league. But kind of like with Cameron, you have to see it. So take Cameron and Adu out of it. Just say Bronny and.
Do we have to? Because that's a very sad list we do.
But so into this point, I think it's why, like, even with the regardless of where the roster goes from here, like, it will be helpful for the Lakers business if we do see a good amount of Cameron Carr, Adu Thero, and maybe throw in like Chris Mignon, like another young developmental guy, Bronny, like. These guys need to play that to me. Like, some of the answers to some of the Lakers' problems is you can't outsource everything. Not everything can come from a trade or a signing. I mean, it has to come through a draft or undrafted pickup. And granted, like, I see the commentary about, like, oh, JJ doesn't play rookies. JJ doesn't play young guys. That's not true. That's just factually not true. Dalton Connect was able
to shoot.
And even then, yes, that's true. But also, even in, like, I mean, yes, Jordan Goodwin, he improved his shooting to the point where, like, JJ could rely on him. But I mean, I remember seeing a lot of Trey Jamison and minutes, not this past season, but two seasons ago.
Yeah,
regardless of how you feel about it, JJ played him. He played him. Over who?
Well, I think there was concern that Jemison would kick his ass if he didn't play him. That guy was always ready to go.
He was awesome. He was awesome. Recovery. Such a good guy to be around.
He's a champion. He's an NBA champion.
NBA champion.
Trey Jemison.
But yeah, Dalton, a couple years ago, like, going down the line, like, JJ will play young guys if they show competence.
If they shoot. If Luka doesn't win a chip with the Lakers, is he a failure? Well, this is like a whole ass pod. Like, this is a, like, get ready for this pod title on August 13th.
What a minute. This is a great question at minute 50, whatever, 58 of the show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In the theoretical world, this happens. Wouldn't he be like the first like true Lakers superstar to not win a title?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, shit. LeBron was the first true Lakers superstar to only win one, you know?
Yeah, I was going to actually make that point.
And now you have, you know, if Luka gets here and he doesn't win any, what I would say there is I think that is more indicative of higher up issues than it says anything about those specific superstars. Like LeBron, I think, is still a championship level player right now. And I think he was a championship level player dating back to a few seasons ago. So I think LeBron more than held up his end of the bargain. I don't think that the front office necessarily met him halfway. And then like with Luka, the front office made a whole bunch of like educated, but they are long-term gambles, right? Like they are hoping that Walker Kessler improves to the point where he proves them right on the amount of draft capital and the contract that they signed him to. They're hoping that Quentin Grimes continues to progress in his career to the point where he is a bona fide starter on a championship caliber team. Like they bought low on proven commodities, but it is still buying low. It is still kind of gambling here. And if that doesn't pan out, if those guys don't pan out, is it Luka's fault or is it the people who gambled on those guys in the first place? I tend to go with the latter.
I would agree there. I think also something that this offseason has illustrated is at a certain point, I think this has been clear. And again, this is not an original thought or idea, but it's become just more clear and obvious that the Lakers stopped viewing the LeBron AD pairing as a pairing that was worth building out like a true contending caliber team or doing the things that would take to make that a true NBA championship caliber roster around those mm-hmm. two. If they were willing to do basically all the moves that they were able to do for Luka and around this team over the last couple months for LeBron and AD, like they may have gotten another chip or not even another chip, like got into a two Western Conference finals or the finals
right
in between 23 and 24.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got there in 23, but
the irony is if they, like, you know, all of the resources that they put into and the urgency that they felt in trading for Walker Kessler, if they show anything close to that kind of urgency while Anthony Davis and LeBron were asking for a center, or AD more specifically, was asking for like a better backup center or a start, you know, close to a starting caliber center, they would have been more ready for the Luka era when he immediately got there. And you don't wait a year and a half for this kind of an offseason. You know, it's, again, a lot of sliding doors, a lot of windows that you can dive through instead. All right, we got one more here, it looks like, from Ryan Lucas, who writes, JK would have been a Laker day one. He would have been a day one free agent Laker signee, I guess. But for I can't, honestly, I'm trying to translate this thing. It's kind of difficult.
Jonathan Kaminga,
JK would have been Laker day one. Yeah, if they would have made a more serious offer on day one. I just don't think Jonathan Kuminga is a day one. Like, no team prioritized. The only day one decision that was made on Jonathan Kuminga was the Atlanta Hawks not picking up his player option. That was the only decision made on him. No team was like went into day one of free agency and was like, all right, how are we going to get Jonathan Kuminga? You know, so like I can't really hold it against the Lakers for not having a day one offer prep for him.
I will say, this is just from what I was told, that I think I wrote this too. Like that, the Lakers, JJ, Rob, they met with Jonathan Kuminga the day after his team option was declined or the start of free agency. So, and they, you know, they've been, the communication at that time was basically what we're saying, like, you could have a starting, you know, starting role. You know, you could be the fifth alongside Luka, and like thinking about all the things that like playing alongside Luka and also can do for your career, like X, Y, and Z. So, again, my understanding is that's also like the sell. Those are the selling points. And if McKinnon's, I was like, well, if these are the selling points, like if you're talking about a starter, because the other part is it became pretty clear. Like, I know there was a 2 years, $20 million, $10 million annual salary around that offer. But that wasn't the start. I want to make that clear. That was not the starting point of the talks. That's eventually where they got to by the end, like by the, you know, last couple of conversations. The holdup on all this is not just the sign and trade, but the actual compensation. But the I can understand from Kuminga's side of things or his camp. So like, it's like if I came to you, it's like, hey, I want you to do, you're going to do this and that and that and that and that. Like, you're going to be all this. Oh, sweet. You're hyping me up. All right. What's the offer? Like, well below the job description. Huh?
We'll take you to ice cream.
Yeah. Here we go. It's like, wait, you just said that this is how you envision me, but you're going to pay. And we're joking, but like, that's part of like, if you wanted a Matisse Thybulle level, not level player, but like, you know, someone to come in for a year and their X and X role, like that's a different selling point. That's also a different salary. So I think part of also it is the messaging in which you're recruiting. That's the best word to use. There we go. It's like, it's even, I mean, obviously we talk about recruiting in terms of like college, but like it happens in NBA too, like at various levels. So if you're recruiting, like looking at a college, if you're hyping up this, you know, whatever, you're recruiting a college kid or a high school kid to your college, and you're saying all these things about like, this is where you're going to be.
You just start. What, are you going to pay me like a starter? No.
Yeah. So, and then that's like, well, then why would I not take maybe similar money or maybe less money from a different situation?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the offer, I mean, regardless of how you feel on the offer, that's not even me saying like, that's just the reality of the negotiations. That's not even me saying, do I think the offer is fair or not? Like, that's just how my understanding of how things have gone down.
Yeah.
Did I see Rob plus one at Disneyland?
Could be part of the offer, you know?
Oh, wow. That's part of the offer. Oh, yeah, wow.
You know? Fast passes. Rob will pay for the fast pass.
I would hope so.
Kobe, this has been a lot of fun as always. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
I mean, I've had a few stories about the variety of topics we've talked about. I think it just published while we were talking a story on like the backup options if the Lakers don't land Jonathan Kuminga on the California Post. Had a story. I mean, I've been writing. So honestly, what I'm going to do is just go to California Post. You can go to my profile, Kobe Price, KHOBI Price, and you can see not just my reporting, but my fellow coworkers and colleagues reporting on the Lakers specifically, but all of your favorite sports teams in the Los Angeles, Southern California area. Or no, not Southern California, all of California, because we're in the Bay too.
Yeah.
And throughout the entire
California Post. It's not the Southern California Post. It's the California Post.
I'm just so used to saying Southern California. I had to clean that up.
Oh, I guess that's true.
I know, right?
It would make sense. It would make sense. Kobe, always fun, as always. If we don't catch up before then, hope you have a great vacation. And I'm going to keep bugging you over the course of the off season as we approach day 47 of Indecision 2026. Do you think this will extend into 2027? No, I'm kidding. No, but,
my next story is coming out. I'll tease it as a plug. I have a couple pitches in terms of everybody's talking about the team he signs with. Like, that's cool. I'm more fascinated with the how. Mm-hmm. How is this going to be rolled out? So I have a story on that coming tomorrow. More just like suggestions, pitches, and including a few that I pitched to like other front office members and other like NBA personnel and got their feedback on. So like, what else we'll do in Vegas was like 95 degrees and like, all right, we've already talked about it. What do you think about the league? What do you think about the summer league? What do you think's happening around? Like, all right, let's have some fun. Let's go through like, how's this going to roll out? And this is also like a week plus ago. We're still waiting.
They just have too many options. Yeah, make sure you guys are checking out Kobe's work there at the California Post, as well as all of his colleagues' work there at the California Post. Let's see, the rest of the week, might do a show tomorrow. It's Friday, and I don't know if I need to like rehash day 53 of Jonathan Kuminga watch and LeBron James watch. But if you guys have questions or comments or anything like that, hit me with them at Anthony Irwin LA, and I'll maybe hop on here and answer a few of those. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Kobe Price. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we will talk to you guys maybe tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see. At least Sunday.